When I was a student, I lived for 2 years in a shared house in Kemp Town, and five of us were friends from MethSoc and or the pharmacy degree course. But in the final year, the sixth person was somebody that we hadn't known previously. He had grown up in a church where the Bible was taken quite literally, and he would sometimes open the Bible at random looking for a verse that would provide the answer to whatever situation he was facing. I'm sure that you all know the story, which may be an urban myth, but the joke about somebody who did that kind of thing and opened it at Matthew 25, verse 7, that said he went away and hanged himself, talking about Judas, and then opened it up again, and it came up to Luke 10:37, that said, "Now go and do the same." Thankfully, he never had that particular combination of verses. But he always took the verses out of context and, in my personal opinion, didn't tend to result in particularly wise decision-making. So towards the end of his time with us, he was planning a trip to France. I use the word planning very loosely because he seemed to have done very little. And we were a bit concerned about how he would manage. But his answer was always that God would provide. And so he didn't need to worry or have any backup plans. And today's readings are very good examples of the dangers of quoting isolated verses without giving their history and context as much thought as the translated words themselves. And I think the passage, particularly the gospel reading from Mark, we obviously heard the last few verses of that about "let the children come to me" earlier on in the baptism service. And I must confess that pretty much all of the time when I've preached on that passage, when it's been set for the lectionary, I have tended to go for those verses as well, because the verses on divorce have often been used to make people feel uncomfortable, to be judgmental, to criticise people, and to exclude people. Primarily when they have been taken at face value, which the church kind of largely did do for centuries. And there are some churches that still refuse to allow someone who has been divorced to remarry in their church on the basis of that passage. But marriage and divorce in the UK in 2024 are very different in so many ways from the situation in first century Palestine. In fact, very different from what marriages were in our own country a few hundred years ago even. But marriages at the time and place of that our gospel set were about property and power. And they were arranged by the fathers of the couple. And indeed, actually, that is very much what was the case in this country for many, many years, really just until a few hundred years ago. So the woman was given by her father as his property to her husband, thus becoming his property. And she had few, if any, rights in law, including the right to divorce. Only the husband could end the marriage. And officially, the only reason allowed was adultery by the wife. But no proof was required, no lawyers, no courts. So he simply had to make a statement, and the statement might have gone something like this. On the 17th day of November, I, John, son of Jack, and you'll note there that the mother didn't count, and as John, native of the town of Brighton, acting of my free will and without any coercion, do repudiate, send back and put away Mary, daughter of Susan, and then there you put in the name of the wife's mother, because as well as identifying the wife, stresses the inferiority because it's the, you know, it's the men versus the women. And then the husband adds, and until this present time, my wife. And then there were a few more words, but that was essentially it. And so because of the law, the women who had been divorced by their husband were presumed to have committed adultery, for which the penalty was being stoned to death. And if they escaped that, they were essentially destitute. And so this is the context in which Jesus is replying to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, of course, would have been looking for ways to catch him out, a bit like a skillful journalist interviewing a politician. They would have been trying to get him to contradict the religious law. And so what Jesus did was to shift the emphasis from wordplay about the law to the principles behind the law. Marriage, he presented as a total and genuine commitment to one another, and more importantly, commitment on both sides. And the radical part was the implication that the man has an equal responsibility for the well-being of the marriage. And so Jesus's notion of commitment to one another would indeed provide a very strong basis for marriage and a variety of relationships. But we still need to be mindful that that passage needs to be understood in its time and its place, and to be wary of making too many interpretations for us today. And I often wondered why that gospel reading includes what seem to be quite different elements: the response to the Pharisees' question about divorce, and then Jesus welcoming the children. But in fact, they are more closely related than we might think. In Jesus's day, those were unworthy of acceptance would include divorced women and even in some cases children. Back then, children were often socially shunned and not always considered worthy of consideration until puberty, when they were able to become synagogue members with the bar mitzvah ceremony for boys and the bat mitzvah for girls at the age of 13. It would have been considered bad form to allow children near anyone important, including teachers and rabbis. So in today's reading, we had parents bringing their children to Jesus to be touched in blessing. And the disciples were going to follow the accepted custom of keeping children away from anyone important. But Jesus stopped the disciples, saying, "Let the children come to me, for such as these, the kingdom of God belongs." But then he goes one step further and says, in effect, that the attitude of these children is what we all need. So what overarching message do I take from our gospel reading today? To me, it's not the rules or conventions that will ultimately transform our relationships or our 21st century pilgrimage, but rather an open-hearted and even childlike openness to one another. Can we approach others with a childlike openness? As Jesus reminds us, it is only for such pilgrims that the kingdom of God will start to have meaning. Amen.